So we're going to do something a little bit different today. I want to kind of get you to think a little bit here and kind of challenge you to come up with an answer. You know, God has many titles that he's given in the Bible. We know a lot of them, and they're written out. However, I want to talk to you about a title that we could give God based on what's written in the Bible. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go ahead and pull out five things that might describe this, call a job title, or this title we could give to God. And I'm going to ask you to think about them as I go through them and see if you can come up with that title, the title I'm thinking of, the answer that I'm looking for. So those five descriptions are this: judgment, righteousness, redemption, repentance, and reconciliation. So I'll go through them one more time so you can think about them a little bit. Judgment, righteousness, redemption, repentance, and reconciliation. So do you know the title that you might give God based on those five things? It's kind of vague, it's kind of broad, isn't it? So let me help you narrow it down. I'll give you another clue. Focus on the last one, reconciliation. That description would be the most telling for the title that I'm thinking of, reconciliation. So think about that one. Do you have your answer yet? Well, to help come to that answer, let's maybe look at it from a different way. So what do these five things have in common? Can we find a common thread in them? In judgment, righteousness, redemption, repentance, and reconciliation. They all seem kind of from different areas, don't they? Well, there's one thing they have in common. They all deal with accountability. Every single one of those deals with accountability. And not these alone. There are more that we'll talk about. But for instance, let's walk through them. Let's walk through judgment. How does that deal with accountability? How's that accountable? Well, we know in Revelation 20:12, and we don't have to turn there. I'm just going to reference some scriptures for these. The great white throne judgment, when the small and great will stand before God and the book will be opened, and they will be judged according to what is written in the book and according to their works. That's an accountability, isn't it? There will be an accountability that will be taken at that time. Well, righteousness. Righteousness is based on something. It is accounted by some means to be righteous. What is that based on? For instance, if we look at James 2, verses 21 through 23, again, we're not going to turn there. Abraham's faith and works were accounted to him as righteousness. And that's how it's described. They were accounted to him as righteousness. So what he did was accounted to be seen as righteous before God, and he was called a friend to God. So redemption. You can look all throughout the law and all throughout the Bible. Redemption, a good chapter to turn to would be Leviticus 25, where it talks about redeeming people who have been in slavery or somebody who's put themselves in slavery in regards to the Jubilee year. There's an accountability to redeem somebody. There's an accountability. There's a price that is assessed and accounted, and then whatever that price is has to equal. There's an accounting that goes on for the redemption. Repentance. Repentance is something that when we look at our lives and we take account of it, we have to take account of where we are as to where we should be. And when we find out by taking account of our life that we're not in alignment with God, we repent and we turn and we go into alignment with God. So there's an accountability that has to take place in repentance. We have to hold ourselves accountable to God's word and what we're supposed to be doing. And the last one, reconciliation. This was probably the easiest one. Accounting and reconciliation. You can almost take that in the terms of, well, let's look at it in financial terms. When you reconcile something, you take your liabilities and your assets and you account them against each other, and then you know where you stand financially. Spiritually, you know, it's really no different. We take our liabilities, which are our sins, and we take our assets, which is Christ's blood, and they have to be reconciled. So there's an accountability of our sins, and Christ was accountable for laying down his life to reconcile that opportunity to have a relationship with God. There's an accountability there. As I mentioned earlier, these five are not alone. Let's kind of just take a quick glance through the Bible, and you'll probably think of some other ones too, but let's look at the parables. What about the 10 virgins? There's an accountability to have enough oil and to be watchful, isn't there? The sheep and the goats, there's accountability for helping out those who are thirsty, those who are hungry, those who are naked. The talents, there's an accountability to do something with those talents. Well, what about individuals in the Bible? How about Cain and Abel? Cain, he was held accountable and cursed for his actions against Abel. What about King David? Because we all know God is not a respecter of persons, is he? King David, his son died. He had bloodshed throughout his house. He was held accountable for the actions that he took. There was an accountability. And you can look throughout the whole Bible. We could take a lot of time. And if you look throughout the whole Bible, there is accountability written everywhere within the Word of God. So, back to the title. Have you figured out the title? Well, if you want to look at it this way, we could give God the title of the perfect accountant. The perfect accountant. And that's not an accountant like we think of somebody who gets down to the bottom line with dollars and tries to get just to that last little nub. God is the perfect accountant, meaning he takes everything into account. Everything into account. And then he judges righteously on it. But there is accountability in what he does. And all things are taken into account. So why does this matter? You know, why am I bringing this up to look at God in this way, or to think of God in this way, or to view him with that title, the perfect accountant? Well, I can share with you how it helps me. And I can only hope that maybe in the same way it helps you. And that is, when I think of God as the perfect accountant, taking all things into account, what that leaves me with is peace and confidence. I am left with peace and confidence knowing that about my God. I know that God is paying attention to every single detail in my life. I know, being the perfect accountant, he takes all things into account. He's merciful. He's loving. I understand that about my God. So his accounting is done in mercy and love and compassion. And he doesn't just account me for the things I do. In other words, I'm not just accounted for the things I do. He also looks into my heart and my thoughts and my mind. He knows my desires, and he takes that into account also. As Paul kind of aptly described, he says, you know, the things I wish to do, I find myself not doing. The things I do, I do not want to do. You know, he was striving in his heart to follow God. God takes that into account. God knows if a sparrow falls to the ground. We know that from Matthew 10:29. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We know that from Hebrews 11:6. I know if I'm mistreated, he accounts for it. God accounts for it because vengeance is his. He'll take care of that. I can have peace and confidence in that. I don't have to worry about it. It's not on me. God is taking account of that, and he will reconcile the books. So knowing God is that perfect accountant, it really does give me peace and confidence. It gives me peace and confidence to walk before him in a relationship with him, knowing who he is and how he is. And it helps me to remember that I am accountable for the things I do. And that's a good thing. Being accountable is a good thing. It helps me to know where I'm at and to change path when I'm off. That's what accountability helps me do. It helps me to zero in on where God is, to understand who God is by being accountable. There are blessings to being accountable. So if we do read, we will turn to a passage in Hebrews 4:12-13, we'll read. And this is one everybody's going to be very familiar with, I'm sure. But let's read it. Hebrews 4, starting verse 12. Well, no, let's go ahead and bump up. I want to start in verse 9. We'll start in verse 9 and read through. There remains a rest for the people of God. For who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall under the same example of disobedience. Disobedience referencing back in Moses' time and the children of Israel being disobedient. For the word of God is a living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, I know some can read this, and it is definitely a warning, and it can be a dreadful thing to some people to read that and go, oh, no, you know, I'm going to have to give account for some of the things I've done. That's terrible. It's a warning, but it's also can give you peace and confidence. God knows your heart. He sees the hidden things. He sees all things. And being the perfect accountant, he takes them all into account, every single one of them. And it will be done with mercy and judgment, will be done with kindness and love and compassion. We know that about our God. So to be held accountable and to know that he knows all things can be a peaceful thing, can be a confidence thing. Let's read on and finish in the next three scriptures here. We'll read on verse 14 in Hebrews 4. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Come boldly before that throne of grace. We are accountable, and God is a God of accountability. And being the perfect accountant, he has accounted for everything, everything that is required for us to be in that relationship with him, everything that will be required to get us into the kingdom of God.